Luke 7, verse 18 through 35, these are God's words. Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? When the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptizer has sent us to you, saying, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? In that very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. When the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind. But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who are gorgeously apparelled and live in luxury are in king's courts. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I will send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, baptizer, but he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And when all the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. And the Lord said, To what then shall I liken the men of this generation? And what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, saying, We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not weep. For John the Baptizer came, neither eating bread nor drinking wine. You say he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, Look, a glutton and a wine-bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by all her children. Often people come to Christ and to the truth about Christ with certain expectations. Jesus' cousin John had expectations, and when they weren't met, he sent two of his disciples to ask if Jesus was the Christ. After he had spent his earthly public ministry announcing that Jesus would come, and then when Jesus showed up, he recognized him. And he said, This is the one I told you about. But he had had different expectations. Jesus doesn't please us, doesn't exist to please us. Jesus responds to John's inquiry by showing many miracles to those whom John had sent. Jesus is demonstrating that he is not of this world, that he does have the power that John had hoped he did, that John was right, he was not worthy to untie Jesus' sandals. But the climax of Jesus' response was not the healing of the blind or infirmities or afflictions. When he told them to go back and tell John what they had seen and heard, the climax of it was, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus' power was greater than what was expected. He showed the power not of a great man, but of the God-man. And his values were not what we would expect from this world either. He had a special care for the poor. Note that it was a gospel care for the poor. Many think that they have a special care for the poor by giving them money. But we perish and our money perishes with us. The Lord Jesus' special care for the poor was in giving them the gospel. When Jesus is different than we had expected, and often a believer has an idea about the sort of life he will have with Jesus, whether he thinks it will be earthly prosperous, and sadly there are many churches that are full of that, or whether he thinks that if he just does the things that it will be spiritually easy. I'm afraid that's a little more subtle and easy to fall into error. When the Lord Jesus and our life with him, our life trusting in him, turns out different than we had expected, it is our duty to modify our expectations and not be offended because of him. Jesus points out that John had not been what the world expected either. He asked them what they went out to see. And he said that John was not easy to blow in whatever direction they wanted him to blow. Those who are in politics and many of those who are in ministry, they very easily find themselves able to say whatever people want them to say. They're like the reed and the wind of what public opinion or public desire is just blows them in whatever direction they want. John had not been like that. John was not comfortable or in luxury. He wasn't the kind of wimpy man-pleaser that the wealthy of the world is. But he who is not impressive to the world, Jesus says, is greater than all the other prophets. A prophet? Yes, I say to you, more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, will prepare your way before you." When our expectations collide with God's expectations, God's expectations must win out. John had preached a baptism of repentance, and there were some who had received it. And they vindicated God. They said, yes, that's right. God's expectations are the right ones. John is greater than all the other prophets. But there were others who were not repentant, and they did not receive the baptism of John because they didn't think they needed to repent of anything. They thought they were like what Jesus actually was. You remember when Jesus showed up to be baptized, and John said, no, I need to be baptized by you. Well, the Pharisees actually thought of themselves as if they were what Jesus really is, not needing repentance. Jesus confronts them, and he points out to them that they rejected both John and Jesus. When John came and he is committed to enjoying or committed to complete repentance. They said, he has a demon. His standards are too high. He expects even us to repent. If we need to repent, then everybody needs to repent. Well, yes, that was sort of the point. But he came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and they said, he has a demon. Then Jesus came with a message of free grace for sinners and a life of liberty to enjoy the good things of God in a godly way. And so they attacked him for encouraging the enjoyment of food and drink. And they called him a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But the wisdom of God, this wisdom, verse 35, that is justified by all her children, is a wisdom that demands complete and perfect righteousness in God's holiness. It agrees with John. We must repent from our sins. But it also turns around in power and mercy of God and gives us repentance by God's power, repentance by God's mercy, righteousness in Christ, and invites us to enjoy the good things of God, not to indulge in sin, but having been forgiven of sin, to enjoy good things in a good way. That's the wisdom of God, where life begins with faith in Christ, and it doesn't call good things bad just because our sin would be tempted to take advantage of them. And those who receive the gospel of the grace of Jesus, they praise the wisdom of God. As verse 35 says, wisdom is justified by all her children. So you don't be offended at the Lord Jesus that he demands perfect righteousness, but trust in him that he has provided for you the perfect righteousness that he demands. And don't think that those who rejoice in a proper way in the good things that God has given are somehow in danger or opposed to the teaching of the Bible. There could be nothing further from the truth. The Lord Jesus enjoyed good things so much, he was accused of being a glutton and a drunkard and a partier. And the Puritans, for instance, enjoyed very much simple things like marriage and ordinary life and work and feasting with family and, of course, the blessedness of the Lord's Day. Theirs was a life full of joy with God from morning to night. They didn't think like the Pharisees did that God is somehow impressed with how miserable we are willing to be made by him. Isaiah 58. When Jesus isn't what we had expected, we need to change our expectations and be content with him as he is. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for giving yourself to pay for our sin and making yourself our righteousness and giving us the joy of belonging to you and enjoying you. Forgive us when we shrink from holiness or when we treat you as a hard master, as if holy somehow means unhappy. But make us to be joyful in you, we ask, in Christ's name.